We're still studying the word hate. And Luke 14, 26, or, yeah, 26. So we finished a bunch in Revelation. Now we're going to look at a few in the Old Testament.
Why are we focusing on hate?
What?
Why are we focusing on hate? I forgot. We're focusing on hate.
Well, it's all these scriptures that are mostly ignored. He that cometh to me and hate not his mother, father, sister, brother, yea, and his own life also, blah, blah. The whole idea of it's clear if you're his disciple, should be hated of all men. If you're not hated, then there's probably something wrong. I mean, it's just an incredibly important.
I don't deny that part. It's just we've spent a lot of time on it.
Well, that's
and
important.
I don't have to care. I'm fine.
All right, let's go to Exodus 20. Remember the first with the Ten Commandments were written on two tables of stone. The first table is vis-a-vis God, and then the second table is related to men or your fellow man. So let's just start at verse 2. Well, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So there's something going on mostly people say they don't hate God, they just don't believe in him. Well, that's hating God. There's no neutral ground. What?
Well, that's a pretty strong statement about hating God.
Right, and
third
it's...
third and fourth generation, I don't know why it stopped there.
Because that's another story, I don't want to go there. Let's look at another one. Let's look at 105, Psalm 105. Let's start in verse 23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. God turned the heart of the Egyptians to hate his people. And the reason this hate is so critical in our is because it is like the final It's the fruit of discipleship. It is the proof in this scripture. It's the proof of the sovereignty of God. God caused them to hate, and he caused Pharaoh to harden his heart. He caused Egypt to hate his people. He causes the world to hate his disciples. Why? To find out whether or not his disciples will follow him or will continue to be man pleasers. Now, there's a weird concept that has entered into the church probably quite a while ago, and that is that there is a difference between converts and disciples. The idea that that every person that names the name of Christ should be his disciple has been lost. And instead, there's this difference between disciples and converts. And this is the way the church today gets around these scriptures that are so penetrating. In fact, I heard a sermon on this back when I was a relatively new believer. The whole sermon was on those that are called to be disciples, and then this is what will happen to them, and then those that are converts, this will happen. They're different. And I never went back to that church, but the idea that there's anything other than disciples is a fiction. And they're all judged by the same standard. It's a garment spotted by the flesh in any way. We are still in the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which we're celebrating this Saturday and Sunday. But everything about this is to push you to total and complete. Everything about this period, the days of Oz, to push you to this incredible position that there is 100% sold out. There's no, you left nothing for yourself. The next section we're studying in Luke, when we're about to get there, it says, if he that does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, if you want to get nervous, start reading that, those scriptures. And then the dance starts. Well, I'm willing to. That's not what it's, don't be, it doesn't say be willing to. Okay, that's what we're getting sidetracked. Go to Leviticus 26. First part of the from verse 3 to verse 13 is the blessings of obedience, and then verse 14 to the end of the chapter is the penalties for disobedience. So I'll start in verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor any judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow to the heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Now what's he doing? He's slowly increasing the intensity. He doesn't want converts, he wants disciples. Well, let's just go on, down to verse 24. We'll spend all day on the rest of it. Then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence. Wait a minute, I screwed up. Verse 17 is the one we're studying. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. And this is what we saw. All these, the things that happened to Israel happened to for our benefit. It's first, if you believe what I teach, is that when Joseph became Pharaoh, then he was the originator of the Hyksos dynasty, and the pharaohs for 400 years, or however many it was, after that, were of Joseph's seed. And then there arose a pharaoh that knew not Joseph. Now, but in that intervening period, the Jews became the leaders. What it just said in Leviticus. But then, because, again, they left the covenant, they left the promise, then God did this. You shall be slain before your enemies, and they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. We have this idea that, and I heard it twice yesterday, and I'm starting to count them. This, God bless you, or bless you. And the moment that somebody says bless you, they've risen themselves above you, because it's without contradiction that the greater shall bless the lesser. But they, it's just become a bunch of cliches. The cross isn't preached. The cross isn't studied. Suffering is to be avoided at all costs. Anyhow, let's go to let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. He's calling Jerusalem Sodom here. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. And that's pretty strong. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my court? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity even to the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will make mine eyes from you. And the idea is you spread forth your hands to pray. I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make your many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. So the whole idea, he's calling these things that he called for, that were shown to Moses on the mount, were all to be a parable of Jesus Christ. And if they don't see that, and if you don't see it, then they're meaningless. Amen? Mm-hmm. You're doing it, Gary.
Well, you just said these are a parable of Christ.
No, I said everything about the sacrifices and the feasts, everything he said he hated here, are all not just to be done. They're being done to see the revelation of Jesus Christ.
And these guys are doing them, but not for that.
Not seeing them. They're not seeing them. Right, it's not true worship, it's will worship. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go back to Psalms. Psalm 35. And it's also how interesting it is when if there's a scripture that justifies you sending money to these guys, then the Old Testament is great. But anything else, that's for the Jews. Which is interesting.
Excise those scriptures.
Psalm 35. Where are we? I'm on the wrong page. That's why it's wrong. This is the Spirit of Christ in David. Let's start in verse 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth, even for his mother. But in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered to get themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Look on. Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without cause. Now, this hating him without cause, he quoted Christ quoted more than once. But, and it's surprising how many times in the scriptures that verse is, they hate me without cause. They hate me without cause. Now, what was the cause they hated me? Was it?
You told them they were evil. Didn't meet their expectations.
Well, I think the main one, the one that made everything crazy in those 4 days, was the redefining the family on the 8th of Passover with not the family, which had been done for 1,500 years. Now he ate the Passover with his disciples. Then, I think the next thing that got him big was the parable about the Great Supper when the man didn't have the right garment on. And he was shocked. They threw him into outer darkness. Now, these kinds of things affect the hearer at the core level. And either then the dance starts, you know, it's a snake charmer is moving the snake, and you figure out some way to justify your disobedience. It's not that difficult. Anyway, let's go to, huh?
It's like you, it's not that difficult because you're just justifying it to yourself, really, and so you're ready to be justified, so you, and you accept all kinds of information
sure.
that you might not on other things, you know.
Right.
When it's about you, it's like, oh, that works, that, I understand.
Hmm. Psalm 38. The verse 10, start in verse 10. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, my issue, my problem. My kinsmen stand afar off for his relatives. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, and in whole, and whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt. What does halt there mean?
More like stumble or something. It's like when you're.
I'm ready. No, I'm ready to faint. Is what you quit in your mind. Is what is another word for halt here. I mean, in other words, for faint. I am ready to halt. My sorrows are continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. They that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. All right, let's go to Psalm 41. amazing to read these, what David wrote, and it's just as if Christ himself wrote it. Psalm 41 at verse let's just read it. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him that upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, but heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and this and his name perish, is what they're saying about David. And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. All that hate me whisper together against me. That's still always true. Because as he is in the world, so are we. Again, I'm only asking you to do the simple thing, but it's discussed in your family, in your friends, in your co-workers, that you simply remind them that all flesh is as grass. And the glory of man is as the flower of grass withereth, the flower fadeth away. But the word, Lord Jesus Christ, stands forever, abideth forever. And so the whole, it's not a difficult thing. If you believe it, you'll speak it. If you don't believe it, you won't speak it. You're not asking you to go stand in a street corner with a sign in your hand, the end is near. All he's asking you to do is to proclaim, if you believe it, the Hallel says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. You cannot help but speak if you believe. And he will not speak only to, you will speak always. You can't help it. So I pray that God would reveal this during this period of time, these days of awe, that God would reveal what true repentance really means. There's no words for it. You know, we can say it's death, it's abandonment of self, it's this, it's that. But until you see that you're tied to your mind, and yet that's like you're being chained to that dead body. And until you see that, until you see your mind is evil above all things, it's at its best, it's the only enemy of God in time and space. And again, if you don't see that, then you've got to go do something. But pray that God would clarify, would make that which is of him just as a bright shining, and that which is in your life that's not of him would just be burned away in the baptism of fire.
I was thinking about Jacob, if I loved, Esau, if I hated. So
yeah, we studied like that yesterday.
Yeah, you know, whenever you're in that position of Esau, you're stepping into God's wrath. You know, it's like when we see it, we run back to the cross.
Yeah. Everybody understand? I don't care. I don't think that there's any possibility of using your mind for any reason where it's not rebellion. There may be, but I certainly. The only thing that your mind can do that pleases God is repent. And repenting there. Oh my God, this is crap. For me, that meant I was bored. I was totally bored with everything that my mind could consider and every place that my mind could consider being in. And that's the reason I was poor at that time. From the standpoint of God, I was everything that I had done, all of the so-called big things were nothing. Nothing was satisfying, nothing sustained. And I almost, a couple times, started to rebuild that which I had destroyed. But by the grace of God, I saw that too was rebellion. I beg of you, there's nothing that's worth this mystery. It can't be lived if you're in the world. If you're of the world, if you're giving breath to things in the world. Take it, big guy. Remember that this thing, test yourself on it, test how you do it to other people. They will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself.
Hello?